Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale is almost here. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair, plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping site-wide. Shop the sale at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
All right, thank you. Please be seated. Directs concluded, just very briefly, counsel, I was reminded at a former trial in the case versus Lori Vallow, one of the Arizona officers, and I'm not entirely remembering if it was Officer Pillar, but made some type of a kind and thanked the jury or something on the way out, which raised an objection by the defense. And I thought it was perhaps at least had the appearance of impropriety, so I just wanted to inquire and make sure that no passing comments were made at the conclusion of the witness's testimony to that effect, because we're just trying to keep the jurors as impartial as possible.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's all I wanted to address, and we just didn't know a better way to do that with the jurors here. So with that, we'll just have the jurors brought right back in. We can continue with cross then, Mr. Pryor.
Thank you, Judge.
All right, so if the jurors can return. All right, thank you. Please be seated. All right, Mr. Pryor, you can commence with cross-examination if you'd like.
Good morning, sir.
You spoke about having coordination with the folks in Rexburg, the folks in Chandler, Arizona.
Yes, sir.
You at Gilbert, Arizona. Would you agree with me that the common denominator of all of these matters is Alex Cox and Lori Vallow?
For the Gilbert investigation, Alex Cox was our primary focus, yes.
And Lori Vallow as well?
Yes, she came into play with being Alex's sister.
Right. And those are the ones that are implicated in the Gilbert, Arizona case, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And then as far as Charles Vallow is concerned, the murder of Charles Vallow, are you aware that, again, it's Alex Cox and Lori Vallow who are implicated in the murder of Charles Vallow?
Yes, for the Chandler, Arizona case.
Okay. And the evidence that you found in the Jeep were two of Chad's books?
No books of Chad's were found in the Jeep, no.
That's it, right?
No books were found
in the Jeep. Oh, no books?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. Judge, that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Any redirect?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Is this witness going to be recalled by the state or the defense?
Not by the state, Your Honor.
No, Judge. Thank you.
Okay. You're released from any subpoena. Thank you for appearing and testifying today, Officer Pillar. All right. Before we call another witness, the court has previously provided a limiting instruction in this case, and given the nature of both this testimony and the testimony of the previous witness, Mr. Boudreaux, the court is going to reiterate that instruction, which will be included in your final instructions as well when you retire to deliberate in the case. Ladies and gentlemen, during the course of this trial, evidence will be introduced for the purpose of showing that the defendant or an alleged co-conspirator may have committed acts other than those for which the defendant is on trial. Such evidence, if believed, is not to be considered by you to prove the defendant's character or that the defendant has a disposition to commit crimes. Rather, such evidence may be considered by you only for the limited purpose of proving the defendant's motive, opportunity, intent, plan, or absence of mistake or accident. So that's the court's limiting instruction. With that, then, is the state ready to call another witness before the lunch recess?
We are, Your Honor.
All right. You can call your next witness.
Your Honor, at this time, the state would call Deputy Coulter Cannon.
All right.
Solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give.
All right. Now that the officer's been sworn, I'll just inquire on the court's exclusionary order. This trial has been broadcast and is available for public view. Deputy Cannon, have you reviewed or listened to or observed any of the trial testimony in this case since it began?
No, I have not.
Okay. And have you discussed with any other witnesses their testimony in the trial?
No, I have not.
All right. Thank you for that acknowledgement. Mr. Wixom, you can inquire on direct.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Deputy Cannon. Good
morning.
Could you please state and spell your full name for the record?
Yes, it's Coulter Cannon, C-O-L-T-E-R. Cannon is C-A-N-N-O-N.
And where do you work?
I work for Fremont County Sheriff's Office.
What do you do for the Sheriff's Office?
Right now, I am a school resource officer, but I am also a patrol deputy.
How long have you worked for the Sheriff's Office?
Approximately 10 years.
If you were to explain to the jury how many years as patrol officer exclusively and how many years also as a resource officer?
I've spent about 4.5 years as a patrol deputy and then 5 years in the schools. And then in the summertime, I go out to patrol. So,
and briefly for the jury's sake, what does a resource officer at a school do?
Mainly just handles any calls inside the schools that he patrols in, making the schools safe and secured and making sure nobody's there that shouldn't be there.
And what training and experience do you have as a law enforcement officer?
I graduated post-academy, so I received my basic certificate. I've also advanced up into my intermediate certificate, and then I've taken numerous trainings throughout my years of service on different trainings throughout the years and continue that training through each year.
Can you explain to the jury, what does it mean to have an intermediate certificate?
It just means that I've had so many years of service and then had so many training hours that I've been able to advance up into the certificates.
I want to call your attention back to October 9th of 2019. Do you recall if that's a day that you were doing patrol duty?
Yes, sir.
Do you recall whether or not you responded to a call involving a Tammy Daybell?
Yes, I did.
And based upon your recollection, what was the nature of that call?
It was put out as a suspicious call, suspicious circumstance.
Can you describe what you were told or what you understood that suspicious circumstance was?
Yeah, so that day I got a call of a gentleman that was at a residence that had pointed a paintball gun or a gun at a female in her driveway. So we responded to the area to check it out.
Okay. Your Honor, at this time, the state would wish to play two different stipulated exhibits. One would be state's proposed 232A.
232A?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And that is a 911 call from a Joe Murray. The second will be state's 232B, which is a dispatch call from Tammy Daybell, both of the same date.
All right. Mr. Pryors, the defense had an opportunity to review these proposed exhibits.
Yes, Judge, I have, and there's no objection.
All right. So Exhibit 232A and Exhibit 232B are both admitted into the record. I presume those are each an audio file on a separate thumb drive. Is that correct?
They are, Your Honor. If I might offer them up just so the court can observe them.
Okay.
So, okay. I need to grab my laptop, too. I've forgotten.
Okay, if you'll do that, I'll have the court clerk as well take a look at those. Okay. You want these returned to be published, Mr. Wixom?
If I may, Your Honor.
All right, I'll have the bailiff return them. Thank you.
And Judge, I'm not certain if I heard the court rule or if I even requested, but are these exhibits admitted?
They are.
Thank you. And for the record, the first exhibit that I will be playing is State's Exhibit 232A. I apologize.
Okay. Yeah, we'll activate the podium microphone.
Thank you.
All right. If you'd like to start it, Mr. Wixom, we should be able to.
Thank you.
Yes. So my mother-in-law, who lives in Columbus, had just gotten home about 10 minutes ago, was unloading her car, and she thinks a man, but she's not on the extension she didn't see because they were wearing a ski mask. Came up to her with a paintball gun, but they started shooting at her. It wasn't loaded, so it had been, he came out of it. But she kept asking him what he was doing, he would respond. And then suddenly, after she pulled out her husband's hand, he ran off with
Okay, what's the address? Are you there? Hello? Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you. What's the address?
It's 199 North, 1900 E, Rexburg, Idaho, 83440. That's my address. She lives in the corner. I don't know what her address is.
Okay, I need her address. What's her location?
I think it's 201, I think is her address.
201 North, 1900 E?
North, yep.
Does she know which direction he ended up running?
He headed back behind their house.
Okay, and did she give you a description of the clothing?
I didn't get one from her. I didn't follow that.
So what is your name?
My name is Joseph Murray.
Okay, is this a good look or a good phone number for you?
Yep.
Okay, I am sending a deputy out to your mother's home.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And for the record, Your Honor, I would next play 232B, the dispatch call from Tammy Daybell.
Very well.
October 9, 2019, 21 hours, 49 minutes,
20 seconds.
Fremont County Sheriff's Office.
Hi, I need to report something.
Okay, go ahead. What's the address?
Okay, 202 North, 1900 East, the corner with the blinking yellow light on Salem Highway.
Is it a suspicious person?
Yes.
Okay, what was he wearing?
He was all dressed in black and he had a ski mask on.
And he said the blinking light now is where you saw him?
No, he's gone now because I pulled up into our driveway and I was getting stuff out of the backseat of my car and suddenly he was there and he had a paintball gun and he was
okay. And
like he was going to shoot at me. And I kept asking him what he was doing because I could tell it was a paintball thing.
Okay.
And then he just kept doing it. So I yelled for my husband and then he took off running around the back of my house.
Okay, give me just 1 minute. Stay on the line with me.
Okay.
October 9, 2019, 21 hours, 50 minutes,
28 seconds.
That was North 1900 East?
Yes.
Okay.
October 9, 2019, 21 hours, 50 minutes,
43 seconds.
In what direction he was going?
He went behind my house and it's so dark out here and I just went in the house and got my husband and son and then they went out and looked and he was long gone by then.
Okay.
So he was on the north side of my house is where he went to get away.
Okay.
He didn't say anything or he just kept at like he was holding the gun like he was, had a rifle and just shooting at me, so. But nothing came out of the gun either, so I don't think it was loaded.
Okay, what is your name?
My name is Tammy Daybell.
Okay, I will pass your information on to my deputies. We actually just had a previous call about this individual, so they're out in the area looking now.
Okay, yeah, I think it was my son-in-law who lived diagonal from us that called you guys already.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure it got reported. So.
Let's see, and what's your son-in-law's name?
Joseph Murray.
Okay. Yep, it was him.
Okay.
So, all right. I have a deputy that will be out at your home here shortly.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Deputy Cannon, do you recognize the information relayed in those two calls as essentially the same information that you were asked to respond to?
Yes, it was.
And can you help the jury understand, is there a difference when someone calls 911 as opposed to calling in dispatch?
Just a different phone number, I believe. I'm not 100% familiar with that. 911 is our emergency line, and then there's a non-emergency line that goes there as well.
Okay. What time of day or night do you recall responding to this?
It was approximately around 9 o'clock p.m.
And do you recall at that point in the year, was it dark outside or was it light outside?
The sun was going down. It was dusk.
And how far away from the address that you were given were you in your patrol when you first received the call?
I was only a couple miles away. I was in the Eugene area.
And so was this the type of call when you were responding? Did you activate your sirens and lights?
I did initially activate my lights and sirens, and then when I got closer, I deactivated them.
Why did you deactivate them?
I didn't want the subject hear me coming or see me coming. I wanted to be able to find him.
Right. And how long did it take for you to actually arrive at the address from the time that you were dispatched to the call?
It was approximately 6 to 7 minutes.
And what's the first thing that you did when you did arrive at that address?
I initially drove around the property, around the roads in that area, trying to look for a suspect wearing that clothing description. And then I went and made contact at the residence with Tammy.
Your Honor, at this time, would it be appropriate to stop for our lunch break?
Yeah, we're right at that time, Mr. Wixom. So if you've got some more direct, I would say yes.
Yes, I do, Your Honor.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take our lunch recess then. We're stopping just short of the noon hour, so I think we'll try to come back on if we can in an hour at 1 o'clock. So we'll be in recess until then.
All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. We could have the jurors brought in, please.
Yes, sir. All right, Rick.
Thank you.
Here's our president, Counselor Yarns.
All right, thank you. Please be seated. We are back on the record on KCR 22211623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. Concluded our lunch recess. Court notes the presence of the prosecution as well as the defendant and counsel for the defendant. In addition, the jurors have all returned and are properly seated. Deputy Cannon is on the stand and has previously been sworn. And I will note that based on a request from counsel to end slightly early today, the court's intention would be to take evidence going forward from now until 3 o'clock and forego the normal afternoon recess in order to stop a little early but not be interrupted by the recess. So hopefully if the jurors are able to make it through that time, we'll go ahead and recess today at 3 o'clock without a mid-afternoon break. However, if for whatever reason you do need a break, just please advise the bailiffs or the court and we'll do that. So with that in mind, Mr. Wixom, I believe you were conducting direct still of this witness, and you can continue.
Thank you, Your Honor. So, Deputy Cannon, I believe we left off and I was asking you about what you first did when you arrived at the location.
Yes.
Okay. And what was it that you first did when you arrived?
I drove through the area looking for the suspect in that area. So,
and what was the description of the suspect that you were looking for?
A male wearing all black clothing and a black ski mask.
And what did you find, if anything?
We didn't locate anybody in the area matching that description.
When you say we, was there other law enforcement helping?
Yes, there was another deputy that responded to the area as well.
When you responded and looked for that person with that description, did you do that from your patrol vehicle? Did you do it on foot? How did you do it?
Yes, it was from the roadways in the area. We drove through the areas and tried to look for anybody matching that description from our vehicles.
And once that was completed, what was the next thing that you did?
I went to the Daybell residence and contacted Tammy at the front door.
Okay. And what, if anything, happened in that conversation?
So I contacted Tammy by knocking on the front door. She answered the door. I just kind of tried to get her information, what happened. She told me that she had just got back from grocery shopping, was getting groceries out of the backseat of her car, noticed a male standing at the rear of the vehicle. She confronted him and asked him what he wanted. He didn't say anything. He just held up the gun, and she heard two pops and then yelled for her husband, Chad, and that he eventually came outside.
Okay. While you were talking to Tammy, did you have any contact with Chad?
I didn't have contact. I didn't talk to him. He was there present when we were having that conversation, though.
Where was he relative to where you and Tammy were having the conversation?
So we were standing by the front door of his residence, and him and his son was actually standing back towards the kitchen area, maybe 10, 15 feet from us.
Any question from your perspective that he would have been hearing the conversation you were having?
Absolutely, he would have heard it.
And when you were there talking to Tammy, were you wearing a uniform with a gun and a badge?
Yes, I was.
Did anything about, well, at any time during your interaction with Tammy, did Chad attempt to talk to you in any way?
No.
Anything about that unusual to you?
I thought it was kind of odd that she had just been like victimized and he wasn't taking any actions to protect her in a way, I guess, but that was just my thoughts personally.
Did that play into your investigation at the time at all?
No, not really, just that it was odd.
What did you do next, if anything?
After that, I went outside. I walked around the initial area where the vehicle was, looking for any shell casings or paintball marks or anything like that in the area.
Does a paintball gun typically have a shell casing?
No.
So why did you say you were looking for shell casings?
If it was possibly a firearm and not a paintball gun. Okay.
And did you find any indication either way?
No, I did not.
What did you do next, if anything?
I went and talked to Joseph Murray, who was across the street chopping wood. I spoke to him for a brief moment, just trying to figure out what he saw. And that he told me that he heard Tammy scream and he saw a male run around the north side of the property.
Was there anything contradictory between what Tammy had said and what Joe had said?
No, there wasn't.
At that point, did you do anything further or did you leave the property?
I cleared from the scene, unable to locate any suspect or that.
After that incident on the 9th of October, do you recall ever going back to that address?
Not on the property at all. I might have drove past the property, but I didn't go to the home.
Did you ever participate in any searches on that property?
Yes, later on in the next year.
To the best you recall, what was the date that you participated in that search?
It was January 3rd
of 2020. What were you there searching for?
We did a search warrant on Mr. Daybell's home. I helped the FBI sift through the snow, again, looking for any shell casings, any evidence that we could possibly find of a gun being used there.
So at either point, did you find any evidence of any bullet or any traces of any shots in any buildings, anything like that?
Not to my knowledge, no.
So as far as you sit there today, would there have been anything else you could do to investigate that particular call?
And me personally, no.
Okay. Your Honor, I have no further questions at this time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wixom. Mr. Pryor, cross-examination.
Thank you, Judge. Officer Coulter, you made an initial report in regards to this case. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And the initial report was relatively brief.
Yes.
You recall that?
Yes, I do.
And then you made a subsequent report afterwards. Do you recall that as well?
Yes.
What's the time frame between the initial report and the subsequent report?
I don't recall exactly the time difference between them. Okay. I didn't look at that.
Was it a week?
No, I think it was further out, maybe a month or so, 2 months. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, and then you also made some comments about not wearing a body cam on that day. Is that right?
Yes, I didn't have a body cam on me that day.
You were a patrol officer, is that right?
Yes, I was.
Standard issue to have a body cam?
It was lost, or it was broken and lost.
So when did you break it?
Couldn't tell you exact date.
Did you try to replace it the same time you realized that it was broken, or did you wait a little while?
I informed my sergeant that it was broken.
Okay. And then you went on a call, and you didn't have any body cam to actually accurately reflect what was transpiring that day, correct?
No, I didn't have body cam.
Okay. And Judge, could we utilize the HDMI?
You going to publish something, Mr. Pryor?
I want to show the officer a copy of his report, if at all possible.
Okay. Are you going to do that by giving him a copy or publishing it?
I'd like to publish it and have him look at it while I speak to him about it, if that's acceptable to the court.
From the defense, any objection to doing that?
No objection, Your Honor, so long as he admits it as an exhibit. I'm not sure he should be publishing things to the jury that aren't admitted.
Judge, I can do it the other way and ask the officer when he did his report, but he doesn't have a recollection of when he did the supplement, and there's a three parts to this report. So my hope was that to show him the report, lay the proper foundation, and then I'll move to admit exhibit, defense exhibit 89. But if the court prefers a different manner, we can go a different way.
Okay, well, it's up to you. We just can't publish it until it's been admitted. I agree, so that in case it's not admitted, the jury doesn't already see it. Yeah. So however you want to handle that, and if the state doesn't object, then we can perhaps shortcut that.
And Judge, can I have my laptop approach the witness with a copy of my laptop, show him the reports, and have him authenticate the report?
Yeah, perhaps maybe just ask Mr. Wixom and show him what you've got and see if the state is going to object. I think he's indicating maybe he's not.
Judge, we're not going to object to that approach at all.
So it's 89?
89, and the parts are A, B, and C, Judge.
All right. Well, if you just want to move for the admission, then...
I'll move for admission then, Judge.
No objection.
All right. Defense exhibits 89, A, B, and C admitted. And what are the... Are they three separate reports, or how is... What are the exhibits? If you just describe them for the record.
Judge, A would be the an initial report, which is about a paragraph. B would be approximately a two-paragraph report that was done... I believe a couple months later, and C would be just the initial incident report by Officer Coulter, the face page of the incident report.
Okay, and I'll just need to be able to make sure to get those submitted into the record for evidence, but you may go ahead with those now admitted and publish, and we'll make sure the court receives copies so they can be given to the jurors for deliberation.
And Judge, whenever the clerk is ready to bring that up.
Yes, it can be published.
Okay. Now, do you recognize this report, officer?
Yes, I do.
And is that your report?
Yes, that is.
And that's a true and accurate reflection of what you prepared close in time to when the incident occurred. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you would do me a favor and read the very first sentence.
I was dispatched to a suspicious call of a male holding a paintball gun at a lady on 1900 East and 200 North.
Now, 1900 East and 200 North is Chad Daybell's property. Is that right?
Well, that's the intersection.
The intersection.
Yeah.
And Mr. Daybell's property is on the corner which would be the northwest corner. Does that sound right?
Northeast.
Northeast corner. I'm sorry. I got my east and west backwards. Okay. Now, when you first testified for the prosecution, your comment was in regards to a paintball or gun incident. And you made a point of adding the word gun after paintball.
Well, it's a paintball gun. She reported different things of possibly being at a gun or a paintball.
When did she report that?
In her 911 calls.
Okay. Could we have a copy of exhibit regarding the 911 call, please?
Which one? There were two.
Well, Judge, I think what I'm going to do is play actually both of them.
All right, those are exhibits 232A and 232B.
And Judge, I'm going to get through this before we start the 911 call. Just right there is fine. Thank you, officer. So your recollection of the 911 call is that Ms. Daybell said something about a gun as well?
Yeah, she just said gun as well in that call.
Okay. Okay. But the dispatcher said it's holding a paintball gun, correct?
I believe so.
And then it says that you attempted to locate suspect but couldn't find anyone in the area, right?
Correct.
You talked to her and she said she noticed a guy standing behind her and was holding a paintball gun again, right?
Yes, sir.
That's what your statement says, right?
Yes, sir.
So the dispatch was about a paintball gun. When you spoke to her, she said it was a paintball gun. and then pulled the trigger a couple of times and then ran off and was described as 5'11", 190 pounds, right?
Approximately, yes.
Okay, and then you didn't locate anybody, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then you, a couple of months later, your story, your at least your report expanded a little bit. Would that be fair?
Yes, I was asked to put more detail into it.
You were asked to put more detail into the report?
Yeah, just to be more brief about actually more detail on the report.
Who asked you to put more detail into the report?
I don't exactly remember who asked me. It was one of my supervisors.
So one of your supervisors said they needed to get more detail in the report.
Yeah, they just said be more specific.
Okay, and that was after the death of Tammy Daybell, right?
I believe so.
So this occurred on October 9th, correct?
Yes.
And Tammy Daybell died sometime shortly after that, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
And then after you did your initial report, your supervisor came up to you and said, you know, we don't have enough information in that initial report, so we need to add some more information, right?
Well, just more detail.
Okay. Was this such a significant issue with a paintball gun that it required you to go back and then write a 2-3-page paragraph with more detail on it after the incident had occurred 60 days earlier?
Can you ask that again? Sorry.
Well, they put you up to putting more detail because they were trying to get you to allege that in some way there may have been a gun there. Isn't that what the police are trying to do here?
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative.
Sustained.
So you put in your report on October 9, 2019, 21:45 hours. You were talking to Tammy Daybell in front of her home, right?
Yeah, it should have been in her home.
Okay. Front room of her home.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I listened to the 911 call, and I seem to recall the 911 call coming in at 21:49. So you're not quite clear on the hours that you talked to Tammy, right?
Yeah, it might have been a different timestamp. I'm not sure.
Okay, so if the 911 call says 21:49, we can rely on that reasonably well, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you put in your report that at 21:45 you were talking to her 4 minutes before she ever called in the 911, right?
If that's what it's saying, yeah, I guess.
Okay, well, we'll go back and listen to the recording again in a minute here, but and her son and were sitting back with the room by the door. Okay. That I believe that led to the kitchen. They were sitting back in a room by a door.
Sitting at the back of the room by the door. They were standing there in the doorway.
Okay. And then you made mention of the fact, and when you revised your report a little bit, you mentioned that she was standing at the back of her car with a gun she believed to be a paintball gun. So you've added the word gun and said believe. So what you're really doing is she told you it was a paintball gun, right?
To my best knowledge, yeah.
Yeah. And the 911 dispatcher said it was a paintball gun, right?
Yes, I believe so.
So why did you put that caveat in there saying believed to be a paintball gun? You knew it was a paintball gun. There was no gun there that day, was there?
I
sustained. Yeah.
She said she screamed and her husband ran and son. So her husband and son took action. They ran out and they tried to see what was going on, correct?
I'm sorry, where are you at in the...
Middle of the new statement. Tamara stated she screamed and called for her husband and son. Okay, right?
Yes.
And to your recollection, the husband and son went out and looked at the what was going on out there, correct?
As far as I'm aware, just Chad.
Okay. So from your perspective... It was unusual the way Chad acted because when his wife said someone shot a paintball gun at him, you think it's unusual for him to run out and see what's going on, right?
No, that's not what I said.
All right. But you did say it's unusual because he stood there silently while Tamara talked to you, right? That was unusual?
Yes, it was unusual that he didn't get involved in the...
Do you know anything about Mr. Daybell's personality?
I didn't know.
Do you know that he's somewhat of a shy person?
No, I did not.
Okay. Do you know that he's somewhat of a humble person?
Objection, Your Honor. The attorney is testifying.
Sustained. Okay. Mr. Pryor, also please let him finish his answers. The court reporter's getting stressed.
Okay. And then you modified your original statement because in your original statement you said the shooter, according to Tammy, was about 5'10", 190 pounds. Where did you get the 6 feet tall and 200 pounds from?
I said approximately.
Okay. Well, why didn't you say what you put in your original report? Why did you add 2 inches and add extra weight on this person?
It was 2 months later. I was going off my memory.
Okay. Or is it possible that when your supervisor said, we need a greater report with more detail that seems to point the finger at Alex Cox, is that why you changed it?
From objection, argumentative, Your Honor.
Sustained.
You changed it because you didn't fit the scenario of Alex Cox, did it?
No, that's not why I changed it.
Okay. But you waited 2 months on a report before you decided to change that report, correct?
I didn't wait. I was asked to change it.
Okay.
But to put more detail into it.
And I guess this more detail that you need of a paintball incident is a result of your supervisor needed more favorable information, didn't he?
Objection, argumentative.
Overruled.
Your supervisor needed more favorable information to link this to Alex Cox, didn't he?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. Not to your knowledge, right?
No.
Okay. And then you say Joseph Murray, who lived kitty corner from the property, right?
Yes, he lived kitty corner.
You went over to talk to Joseph Murray, right?
Briefly, yes.
Okay. And Joseph Murray stated he was cutting wood, heard a scream, and he saw someone run around the north side of Tamara's property, right?
Yes.
Okay. Would it surprise you to learn that Joseph Murray may be telling you a different story than what you're telling this jury?
No.
Okay. That wouldn't surprise you, right?
No, it would surprise me. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. You know, did Joseph Murray hear a gunshot?
I don't know.
Well, did you bother to ask him if he heard a gunshot?
No. Yeah, I just asked him what he saw.
So, according to your testimony and your report, Joseph Murray saw somebody running, and that's an important fact, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's important enough that you had to change your report and add that into the report, right? So it must be an important fact.
I guess maybe so.
Okay. But wouldn't you think it'd also be an important fact if Joseph Murray had actually heard a gunshot of some kind?
I don't think he would have heard a gunshot if it was a paintball gun.
Exactly. Exactly. So this narrative that you're trying to suggest to this jury that this was a gun, you know it was a paintball gun, don't you?
Objection, argumentative.
Sustained.
All the information that's been presented to you points that this was a paintball gun, doesn't it?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, what information from the reports you gleaned at the time you investigated this suggests that this was not a paintball gun? Give me a couple of reasons why you don't think this was a paintball gun.
Just from the calls and what I've heard on the testimony from Tammy's call.
Okay. Okay. So from Tammy's call and from your report and the dispatcher saying it's a paintball gun, where did it say it was a rifle or an AK-47 or anything like that?
I never said it was.
Okay. So again, you know this was a paintball gun, don't you?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Judge, I'm going to replay the video if I can get it to work on my, the 911 if I can get it to work.
All right. Please clarify which of the two you're playing. And you may publish, but clarify which one.
32B will be first, Judge. Maybe not.
October 9, 2019, 21 hours, 49 minutes,
20 seconds.
Fremont County Sheriff's Office.
Hi, I need to report something.
Okay, go ahead. What's the address?
Okay, 202 North, 1900 East, the corner with the blinking yellow light on Salem Highway.
Is it a suspicious person?
Yes.
Okay, what was he wearing?
He was all dressed in black and he had a ski mask on.
And he said the blinking light now is where you saw him?
No, he's gone now because I pulled up into our driveway and I was getting stuff out of the backseat of my car and suddenly he was there and he had a paintball gun and he was he was going to shoot at me. And I kept asking him what he was doing so I could tell it was a paintball thing.
Okay.
And then he just kept doing it. So I yelled for my husband and then he took off running around the back of my house.
Okay, give me just 1 minute. Stay on the line with me.
Okay.
October 9, 2019, 21 hours, 50 minutes,
28 seconds.
And that was North 1900 East.
You can stop.
Yes.
And Judge, I'm done with the... So I was listening pretty carefully. I heard the word paintball gun, and I heard the word paintball thing. Would you tell me on that tape where the word gun was used?
Later on.
Later on?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are you telling me there's more evidence here?
Of that recording, yes.
Where's that?
Further on in that recording, she talks more.
She talks? I didn't hear that. I heard it stop.
That's because you stopped it.
So there was mention of a gun, is that right?
I believe so.
You believe so?
Yeah.
And when you first listened to this, you heard the words paintball gun, right?
In our initial statements, yes.
You heard the words paintball thing, right?
Yes.
And the dispatch said that it was a paintball gun incident, correct?
That's what she put in her notes, yes.
And in your initial report, you said that it was a paintball gun incident, right?
Yes.
And then 2 months later, after Tammy Daybell dies, and you talk to your supervisor, and you don't know why he asked you to change it, you changed it, and now you're talking about possibly it being a gun, right?
Objection, Your Honor. That misstates the evidence.
Sustained.
Well, the subsequent report then starts hinting at, well, maybe this was a gun, right?
No, it's still a paintball gun.
Okay. All right. Just so we're clear. Now, were you part of the other investigation that looked at some of the other possibilities of why someone on the property would be out there roaming around? Did you talk to any of the other potential suspects in this thing?
No, I didn't talk to anybody but Tammy.
Okay. Who was the other officer with you?
Deputy Simper.
Okay. Did you go down and talk to one of the neighbors about the husband of a dog kidnapper that had been causing some problems down the street, just right down the street?
Not that I can recall.
And what about the autistic child that was roaming the neighborhood, causing some issues within the neighborhood? Did you talk to that person as well?
Not that I can recall.
Okay. But you agree with me finally now that this was a paintball gun incident, right?
Like I said, I don't know if it was a paintball or a gun.
Okay. All right, Judge, that's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Wexham, redirect.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you.
Deputy Cannon, you were just asked on cross-examination a number of questions about having written this second report.
Yes.
So in reference to those questions, how long after this incident was it that you wrote the second report?
Like I said, I'm not 100% sure, maybe a couple months or so.
Is it fair to say that over the course of a couple of months, you have a number of calls and interactions with the public as part of your job?
Absolutely.
And as part of law enforcement, as a deputy, is it expected that you will conform to your superiors?
Absolutely.
So if a superior officer says, please go write another report, is that something that you would do?
Yes.
Okay. But in this case, is that what you did?
Yes.
Is there any question in this case, were you fed information to put in the report?
No, just more information about what happened.
But the information that you included in the report all came from your memory, is that fair?
Yes.
You were asked some questions about whether or not you were wearing a body cam at the time?
Yes, I was asked that.
I think you explained that at the time, yours was broken.
Correct.
Can you state, is it fair to say that at Fremont County Sheriff's Office, is there any kind of policy requirement that you wear a body cam for anything?
No.
And so why do you normally wear a body cam?
Just for my recollection and safety and different things like that.
But that doesn't mean you can't perform your duties without the body cam.
No, it doesn't mean that.
And what else do you do when you have an incident besides recording it on your body cam? What else do you do as law enforcement to memorialize what happened in that incident?
I don't understand. Sorry.
Why do you write police reports?
Oh, so you can remember what happens.
Okay. And when you do that, do you write these reports to the best of your recollection?
Yes.
Okay. Defense counsel pointed out that in one report, in the second report, you had noted the time that you were talking to Tammy as being 21:45. Do you remember that?
Yes.
But yet we heard in the call that her call came in at 21:49.
Yes.
Can you explain that discrepancy?
It was probably I was dispatched at that time at 21:45, and she had called briefly thereafter.
And again, when you were
when I was responding, sorry.
Finished, I'm sorry.
When I was responding to the call, she probably made that phone call.
When you were writing that second report, were you writing it from memory?
Yes, just from my memory.
Is it possible that the 4-minute difference could have just been a function of your memory?
Absolutely.
And to be clear, you did use the word paintball gun in your report, correct?
Yes.
But yet, on direct, you indicated that you were looking for shell casings.
Correct.
What made you look for shell casings?
Judge, exceeding the scope of cross.
I'll sustain that.
Was there anything about the information that you received when you initially investigated that would cause you to rule out the possibility that it could have been a real gun?
Sorry, say that again.
Was there anything about the information that you had when you first responded that would have required you to rule out that it could have been a real gun?
No, it's just she heard two pops and she screamed and well.
So as you sit there today, from the information you have, can you rule out that whatever she saw was not a real gun?
No, you can't.
You were asked a question about whether or not Joe Murray had said if he had heard a gunshot. Do you remember that question?
Yes.
Why didn't you ask Joe if he'd heard a gunshot?
I guess it just didn't cross my mind. It didn't seem important at the time.
Did Joe bring up to you in the conversation that he'd heard a gunshot?
No.
Is that something that you might have assumed he would bring up?
Possibly, or if he saw a gun or something.
This is the last question, to be clear. In the second report, did you include any information in there that had been provided to you by anybody else?
No, just from my memory.
Thank you. Your Honor, I have no further questions.
All right. That'll conclude the testimony then of Deputy Cannon.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you. Is the state or defense intending to recall this witness?
Judge, I subpoenaed Deputy Cannon, but I'm going to relieve him of his subpoena today so that he will no longer have to show up in my case in chief. You're welcome.
Your Honor, the state is not going to recall Deputy Cannon.
Okay, that'll conclude your testimony then. Thank you for appearing this afternoon. You can be excused, and the state can call up its next witness.
Your Honor, at this time, the state would call Officer Allie Greenhall.
I swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth.
All right, now that the witness has been sworn before direct, I'm going to inquire of the witness, Officer Greenhall, have you listened in on or in any way observed or heard any of the testimony that's occurred in this trial thus far?
No, I have not.
Okay, have you discussed with anyone else their testimony they've given at trial?
No, I have not.
Okay, thank you for that affirmation. Mr. Wixom, you can inquire.
Thank you, Your Honor. Officer Greenhall, I believe I'm mispronouncing your name. It's Greenhalgh, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay, I apologize. Will you please spell your full name for the record?
Oh, first name is spelled A-L-Y-S-S-A, and the last name is spelled G-R-E-E-N-H-A-L-G-H.
Thank you. And ma'am, can you tell the jury, where is it that you work?
Currently, I work in Rexburg, Idaho for the Rexburg Police Department.
What is your job title there?
I'm a patrol officer.
How long have you done that?
Total about 7 years.
7 years with the Rexburg Police Department?
About 3 with Rexburg and 4 years before that with the Fremont County Sheriff's Office.
What was your job title at the Fremont County Sheriff's Office?
I was a patrol deputy.
And can you explain to the jury what post-training or otherwise do you have as a law enforcement officer?
Currently, I hold an advanced certificate through the Idaho Post Academy, as well as some other miscellaneous specialty trainings.
And as part of your work for Fremont County, was it one of your functions to respond to calls about unattended deaths?
Yes.
From your perspective as law enforcement, please tell the jury, what is an unattended death and what is your function as law enforcement?
An unattended death is, generally speaking, any death that occurs where the person is not under a physician's care. Typically, somebody will call when they find a family or friend or loved one that has passed. And my duty as a patrol officer or deputy initially on scene is to respond before the detectives and the coroner get there, to check for obvious signs of foul play, and then request resources as needed.
And when you say foul play, can you tell the jury what types of things do you look for when you're looking for signs of foul play?
Yes. So typically we're looking for obvious injuries, disheveled houses, like if furniture is broken or pushed around, obvious injuries being gunshot wounds, stab wounds, needles, drug overdoses, things like that.
So with any given unattended death, is it fair to say that you respond with that role in mind, trying to either identify or rule out some foul play?
Correct.
I want to draw your attention back to October 19th of 2019. Do you recall responding to an unattended death call for a Tammy Daybell?
I do.
At that time, prior to your response to the scene, had you ever heard Tammy Daybell's name?
No, I had not.
Had you ever heard Chad Daybell's name?
No.
So you weren't familiar with either one of them?
I was not.
Who dispatches you to an unattended death?
Whichever dispatch officer is working that day.
So is it fair to say that when there's an unattended death, that someone will call into law enforcement and 911 or otherwise, and then they'll find an officer on duty and send them to the scene?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, at this time, the state wishes to request admission of what we believe is a stipulated exhibit number 233, which is a recorded 911 call made by Garth and Chad Daybell on the day of Tammy's death.
Any objection? Okay, exhibit 233 then is the audio file of that call. It will be admitted by stipulation. Just make sure we have the correct exhibit submitted to the clerk, and then if you wish to publish, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would the court have me send it up now, or should I play it first?
As long as you're convinced it's the right thing, you can go ahead and start publishing.
Thank you.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.